I want to begin by reading out loud our mission statement. So we have it on the screen. This is our mission statement for Venice Church, for all of our Eastlake Network churches that we're a part of. And it's real simple, but I want you to commit it to memory in your life. Is it up there? Okay, let's read it together. Ready? People helping people find and follow Jesus. That's simple. We keep it boiled down to that. People helping people find and follow Jesus. And so this series that we're in, I Heart Venice, is all about blessing people and ministering to people where we live, where we work, and where we play. How do we be a blessing? And really, that's what ministry is. When we hear the word, a word like ministry or mission, we tend to categorize it and say, oh, that's for, you know, somebody like Mark, or that's for a missionary, or that's for these people. No, what ministry is people helping people find and follow Jesus, being a blessing where we live, where we work, and where we play. How do we bless others? That's called living life on mission, missional living. That I have a mission in my life, not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a follower of Jesus. There's a mission in my life that transcends everything else, and that's I want people to come to know Jesus and be reconciled to God. And so we live our days missionally. Does that make sense, Jeremy? So all of us do that, and we have a mission every day when we're going out amongst our work where we live, where we work, and where we play. So we don't want to overcomplicate what ministry is all about. You don't need a degree to do it. And absolutely no perfect people are allowed to be a part of this. We walk with limps. Every one of us walks with a limp. If you don't know it, you got a bigger limp than the rest of us. So we want to do this. Here's the big idea. If we're going to love our city, we have to understand. You can write this down in your outline if you have it this morning or on your app. We talked about this last week, and we're going to just reiterate it. We are sent people to bless people where we live, work, and play. We are sent people in order to bless people where we live, where we work, and where we play. So here's the foundational verse that we've been looking at this idea of blessing from. It's Genesis chapter 12. You can read it out loud with me, okay? Here we go. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing, and all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So we have been blessed by God in order that we might bless others. We are a sent people. We are missional. We are called to be a blessing in our lives to other people. And we had two questions that we looked at last week. I'm not going to dive into them, but just to remind us of them, they're on your outline as well. What if every church blessed every city? What would that look like? Well, how many walls would fall down if every church that called on the name of Christ from a sincere heart saw as their mission to bless their cities? Wow, that would change things. And the second question is, what if every Christ follower blessed every neighbor? That you and I individually saw our mission to bless those around us, right? That would change things. So we're looking at five practical ways in this series to do that. You've got your blessed card there, your bookmark. We're looking at five, the rhythms of following Jesus, and how do I not just say it, because we can throw words like that. How are you doing? Blessed. You know, I'm blessed. You're blessed. I'm blessed. Everybody's blessed. I'm going to go out and be a blessing. What's that mean? How do you unpack that? What are the work clothes for being a blessing to others? That's what we're going to look at in this series. Last week, we began with B, which is, anybody remember? Begin in prayer. So all of this begins in prayer, and we pray. And I hope that was something that you were able to incorporate this last week, that we want to begin and say, Lord, okay, use me. I want to be a blessing today. Help me. Give me ears to hear. All these things. L is listen. E is eat. Somebody say, hoorah. S is serve. And the second S is story. So today, this morning, for a few minutes, we're going to combine two of them. Because I'm feeling so empowered, I'm not going to just take one. I'm going to take two this morning. That was a joke. We're going to take L and E, listen and eat. This is how we be a blessing. We're going to take L and E in this acronym to bless the people of God, to bless people that God has sent in our way. Write this down. Number one, listen for what's really happening in people's lives. This is a way to be a blessing, is to listen. Now, there's a story of what listening looks like that I really like in the life of Jesus. It's found in Luke chapter 18, starting with verse 35. I'm going to read it. It says, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind beggar was sitting beside the road. And when he heard the noise of a crowd going past, he asked what was happening. They told him that Jesus the Nazarene was going by. And so he began shouting, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet, the people in front yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, son of David, have mercy on me. And when Jesus heard him, he stopped and ordered that the man be brought to him. So he's headed to Jerusalem, and the final stopping place, because there was a great pilgrimage at Jerusalem this time, it was the time of the Passover, so it was crowded. A lot of people were traveling, and about the last place before you get to Jerusalem where you can camp out or hang out for a little bit is Jericho. So Jericho at this time would have been insanely crowded. It'd be like the Venice Boardwalk on 4th of July, just people everywhere. And so that's what this is like. And there's a lot of noise, a lot of activity. And this one guy, this blind beggar, starts crying out, Jesus! He hears that Jesus is in town. And the fame of Jesus is spread because they know about what he's done, about miracles and all that he's turning the establishment upside down. And so he starts crying out. And they're even saying, shut up, but it doesn't stop him. How many of you know, you really want Jesus, ain't nobody going to get in your way. You're going to go after him. And so that's what's happening here. The people are telling him to quiet down, but Jesus hears him. And I love this. So it says, as the man came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, he said, I want to see. Jesus said, all right. Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. I want you to notice the question that Jesus asked the blind man. What do you want me to do for you? He's listening. He didn't have his own agenda for the man. What is it that you want? Obviously, he could tell that there were needs, but he wanted to hear the man. What is it that you want? Michael Frost wrote this wonderful book called Surprise the World, The 5 Habits of Highly Missional People. And in this book, he talks about a group that went to India in order to serve the poor. And he went to the worst part, the slums of Calcutta here, or outside of Calcutta, and to serve. And so this group of people went to the people in that region, in that area, and asked them, hey, because they have supplies, they had resources, they all this, and they said, what do you, you know, what's going on? How can we help here? We can build you a school. We can build an orphanage. We can build a hospital here. What do you want? And their reply was, we want a mailbox. Meaning, we want a zip code. Because even though there was a community of about 20, 30,000 people, they weren't on the map. And so because they weren't on the map, they were missing all these resources that they would be able to receive from the government. And so this group of missionaries took that and they did that. At first they were like, are you sure? Because we can actually build a hospital and I know you need one. And they're like, we need a zip code. And so these missionaries took that upon themselves. It was very hard going through all the bureaucracy of it. It took almost 2 years for them to do it. But they got these folks their own zip code. And it changed everything for them. But here's the thing about that. They wouldn't have been able to accomplish that and bring such change to that community had they not listened to them. Had they just come in with their own personal agenda. This is one way that we can bless where the people where we live, work, and play is just by taking the time to listen to people. We talk about that a lot here. We talked about it this morning with our leaders. We do that. As it's an 80-20 rule that in life, especially when you know you're meeting somebody, be 80% concerned about them and 20% about what you have to say. Listening to them, investing in them, hearing from them. Boy, it really matters in people's lives. And it's not easy to do. It seems like listening is so easy. It's really not. And one of the reasons is because our brains, our minds, they communicate to us 4 times faster than somebody can speak. Now just think about the ramifications of that. Because when somebody's speaking, what are you normally doing? Your brain's going. And you're already thinking of how to reply to them. Or you're thinking about, you know, who got kicked off The Voice last week, or what's for dinner tonight, or because you can't, you're way out ahead. You're already assuming you know what they're going to say next. You kind of like to say it for them so this can get done faster, right? So this is why it's difficult to do. Stephen Covey, I really enjoy his writings. He said, most people do not listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. True. Listening is something that needs to be active. It's not a passive thing. There's a way to listen to people and engage and hear what they're saying. We listen to their hurts. We listen to their needs. We listen to what's in their hearts. And this is a form of love. This is a great way to make somebody feel accepted and blessed, is just to listen to them. We're surrounded by people who need to be listened to in the places that we live, in our work, and in the places that we play, just to hear. I love this quote by David Osberger. He said, being listened to is so close to being loved that most people cannot even tell the difference. Being heard. That's what Jesus modeled. Screaming crowds, what is it that you want me to do for you? Talk to me. How many of you ever been heard like that? Or you have a friend like that or a spouse like that, that, man, they listen good. Doesn't it feel? It feels affirming. You've been blessed when somebody listens. So that's the first one. Here's the second one. Here's the next in the acronym, E. We like this one a lot. It's called EAT. How many takers on this ministry journey? How many want to live missionally this way? Eat with others regularly. Eat with others regularly. Don't dismiss this, because here's the thing. When you think about the life of Jesus and what he did, what do you tend to think about? Tend to think about, oh man, the messages he spoke, he walked on water, he fed the multitudes, miracles, prayer, the crucifixion. Do you know that he did a lot of saving mankind through eating? I kid you not. Here's a great story of Jesus doing this and how eating is not this cute little thing over here, but it should be a part of how we bless our communities. Look at this story. It's from the Gospel of Matthew. It says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. And later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as a dinner guest, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with such scum? Jesus heard this and said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. Don't you love Jesus? And he added, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifice. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. It's easy to have a problem with religion. I got a problem with religion. It's very difficult to have a problem with Jesus. He was insane. Jesus walks up to Matthew and says two life-changing words. He says, follow me. Now, the reason this is so crazy, not only does Matthew do that, he gets up and follows, but Matthew is a tax collector. So Matthew is not liked at all. He's a lackey for Rome. He fleeces his own people and gives tribute to Rome and stuffs his pockets. He's a thief, tax collectors are. And Jesus goes to this guy, not a Pharisee, not a Sadducee, not a religious leader. He goes to this guy and says, hey, I want you to be one of my disciples. Come and follow me. I don't know what your image of Jesus is. If he's got a halo on his head, you know, and he looks kind of angelic. Jesus turned everything upside down. He is the greatest revolutionary to have ever lived. I got to get back to my stool. The greatest revolutionary that ever lived. You just didn't do this. Remember the rich young ruler who said, hey, I want to follow you. And Jesus is like, you know, well, you know the commandments. And he goes, yeah, I've done them. You know, other father and mother, and do not do this, and do not do that. I've done those. And he goes, all right, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and then you come and follow me. Notice he didn't say, go sell everything you have, give it to me. You know, give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. And the guy went away sad. He would have been on any deacon board in any church in America, that dude. He was a good, Jesus goes after, and he talks to a tax collector and says, I want you in this thing with me. And the Pharisees were like, what? That's a sinner. And then look at the other guest list. It says that they were disreputable sinners. So in Jesus' day, a sinner was a derogatory term for anybody who wasn't religious. And this disreputable sinner, that would have been somebody who was, you know, in illicit affairs, prostitution, people who were looked upon that way. And here's Jesus eating meals with this kind of group, not hanging out with the elite. He's there. And it's bugging the Pharisees, the religious leaders. They don't get it. They can't wrap their brains around this. But this is who Jesus is eating with. And it's not like, again, you have to understand, eating then, sharing a meal with somebody wasn't what we do today at Tito's Tacos, right? Or In-N-Out Burger, where we just grab some food and we shovel it down. When you went into somebody's home and shared a meal or brought them into your home, you were accrediting them. You were saying, this is who I want to be associated with. This is, you're placing value on those people and sharing life with these people. And a holy God incarnate in Christ wants to hang out with the worst, wants to go and share, wants to love them through sharing a meal together. Man, he puts me to shame. You know, when I was thinking about that this way, like, gosh, Lord, I want more of this. To some degree I do that. I want way more of this in my life, of being involved and invested in people who have nothing to give back, right? And sharing a meal, listening, being with them, sharing life with them. That's what Jesus modeled for us. That's where he called Matthew. And this wasn't the only situation where he had done something like this and just really ticked off the religious institution. There was another one, the Pharisees. And when I say Pharisees, that was a sect of religious leadership. We'll call it that for now. So these were the high maka-maka of the religious leaders. And they were ticked off, and they were ticked off at John, who was the Baptist, saying that he had a demon. They said, for John the Baptist, he's got a demon. And then they were criticizing Jesus. And Jesus, you can read a lot of it in Luke chapter 7, but he was saying, what we sing, you don't like our songs. We dance, you don't like our dance. We do this, you just got problems. Jesus said, John the Baptist didn't spend his time eating bread or drinking wine, and you say he's possessed by a demon. He didn't do those things. And you say he was possessed by a demon. And then he goes and says this, the Son of Man, on the other hand, referring to himself, feasts and drinks. And you say he's a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and other sinners. But wisdom is shown to be right by the lives of those who follow it. And I love another translation of that. It says, but wisdom is justified by her children. So Jesus is saying, look, you don't get it. John the Baptist didn't do any of these things. And you say he's got a demon. I'm doing these things. And you say I'm a glutton and a drunkard and this and that. He goes, but wisdom is justified by her children. What's that mean? That means the proof is in the pudding. Look at the results of what's going on. People are getting healed. People are coming to life. And that's the same thing today. We share meals with people and do things with people and bless people. And some people will look at it and go, oh, I don't think you guys, you know, I went to an event at Venice Church and you had some beer, I think, at one of those events. You served a mimosa on Mother's Day. Ooh. I tell you, I'm serious. It's the stupid things that, oh man, cold medicine, don't kick in right now. Behave yourself, Mark. The filter comes off sometimes. It can't happen. But the stupid things that people do in the name of trying to be pious or religious and the issues they take, you know, oh, you had a beer? What was the first miracle Jesus did? He turned water into wine. The best wine. He saved the best to last. And somebody wants to have a problem with us because we have fun and have a mimosas. Am I even saying that right? Mimosa? That's a mimosa, right? On Mother's Day. And I'm like, you know what? Have a problem with this. Have a problem with slander. Have a problem with gossip. Somebody asked me last week because they were asking, how's the church going? Oh, it was my brother. He said, how's the church going, man? I go, it's great. You know, it's growing and people are good. And he goes, you got drama? because that's usually associated with churches, that there's this stuff. And I go, no, that's what's really cool. I mean, there's drama in people's lives, like there's stuff happening in people's lives that are dramatic and, you know, that, but there's not the crap that exists in so many places. And I go, I love it, because we want to keep it simple. We want to do life together. And we do it very imperfectly, but we want to keep the main thing, and not get caught up on the trivial. How do we bless our communities? How do we do it? And we're going to do it very imperfectly. Me out front of everybody, doing it very imperfectly. But what's the goal? What's the objective? What are we doing here? We are beginning with prayer. We're listening to people. We want to eat and share meal and share life with people. And all these things will lead. And we're doing it missionally. It's not like we just have parties. We need to party. We need to celebrate. You know, open your home to your neighbors and do this like some of you do. And do that. And it's not that we do it just so we can get together. Hey, Mark, I got this one down. I know how to party. I party with my neighbors every week. You know, we party. That's not the objective, is to party. The objective is not that you can have a beer and still go to church. That's not the objective. The objective is that you can let your light so shine before men that they see your good works. And that takes time. That takes getting to know people. How do you do that? Listen to them. Eat with them. Share meals with them. Not just have to get drunk and be stupid, but be fun, be enjoyable, be with people. And then over time, because we've become interested in them and they know us, they ask, what's the reason for the hope that lies within you? What is it about your marriage? Man, what is it about? Or they know that you love God and that and you go to church and these things, and they're like, you, really, you? They let you? Oh yeah, they let me. You should see our pastor. They let him. If they let him in the pulpit, I'm easy in the front door. Do you know what I'm saying? And then we have the opportunity to share our story with them. Now we have the opportunity to share Jesus with them. Jesus was a missional eater. I think we can do that. I want to read this quote here, and we're going to close. Hugh Halter, great book, Happy Hour, Etiquette and Advice on Holy Merriment. He said, people won't move spiritually until they are connected socially. Huh? In other words, the gospel will not be heard until our front doors open, our tables are set, and we practice the art of hospitality, celebration, and party. People want to know that they're not on a Christian agenda to get them converted. God is interested in humanity, period. Not when they come to him or when they acknowledge him. God loved the world. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? So that's how we do missional living. And listen, whether you realize it or not, we live in a post-Christian era right now. And so you are on mission. In LA, you're a missionary. You are reaching people in a post-Christian era, which means they didn't grow up with some kind of reverence for the Bible. You can't say, well, the scriptures, they don't care what the scriptures say. This is not the South. This is not 20 years ago even. It's just a book. And so you are on mission. You are reaching a people group in Los Angeles who do not have an association with Christianity. That's our mission field. How do we do that? Invite them into your home. Listen to them. Love them. Be their friend. Party with them. Share your story with them when you get an opportunity, so that they can come to know Christ and be liberated. This is what we want to do. This is how we're going to bless. Okay? So your assignment this week is to have a barbecue and a kegger at your house. No, I'm kidding. Some of you are like, that's my, yeah. Where's that on the connection card? Sign me up for that. That's my next right step. Okay.